text for this morning you will find in 2 Peter chapter 3 and at verse 9. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What a brilliant verse this is, and how encouraging it is to us. It tells us about God. Many people have a picture of God as a very hard person. But here we're told that he's long-suffering. He's so patient. He's so gracious. He's waiting. He's longing. He's looking for us to repent. He's not willing that any should perish. He has a delight in people turning from their sins unto God. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What an encouragement that is for you. Whoever you are, whatever your background, whatever sins you have committed in the past, whatever mess you have made of your life, the Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Remember how the Bible ends. Revelation chapter 22 and in verse 20. He that testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Surely I come quickly. That's what he says. But he said that 2,000 years ago. So what happened? Why has he not come? Where is Jesus? Why has the world not come to an end? This is the question that Peter is dealing with in this last chapter of his second epistle. And it's a very important question. I'd like us to look at it today. But first of all, we have here Christ's promise. Christ's promise. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. So what was the Lord's promise? We have it, you remember, in John 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So there we have the promise. I will come again. Christ is leaving, but he's saying there, John 14, verse 3, I will come again. Or think of the words that he spoke when he was on trial before Caiaphas and Annas and the Sanhedrin of the Jews, the whole council of the Jews. He said there in Matthew 26, verse 64, you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. You shall see it, the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. Think too of the words of the angels in Acts chapter 1. You remember how Jesus died for our sins on the cross. He was laid in the grave, but then on the third day he rose again. And he appeared to the disciples over a period of 40 days. And then he ascended up to heaven in their presence. And there they were standing, looking, watching as he ascended up to heaven and the clouds received him out of their sight. And then two angels appeared beside them and said to them, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, whom you have seen ascend to heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. He shall come in like manner. He'll come, he'll appear in the clouds, he'll appear and his holy angels with him. He'll appear this time, not in humiliation, but in exaltation, in all his might and his glory. He will come riding upon the clouds of heaven." That is the promise. "Behold, I come quickly." So where is he? Jesus will return, riding upon the clouds of heaven in great power and glory, and then the world will stop. We've seen in a kind of a way the world stopping today with this pandemic. It's amazing how many things have stopped, but it will be quite different when Christ comes the second time. It won't be a partial stop. It will be a complete stop. Every man and woman will stop. And every single thing that's going on in this world will stop. And everything will be called to attention. And all will be called to stand before the great judge. The dead will be raised. And every man and woman will be gathered together to be judged. There will be a heaven and there will be a hell. To some he will say, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the place prepared for you from before the foundations of the world. Come, ye blessed." To others he will say, "Depart, ye cursed, to that place prepared for the devil and his angels." What awful company forevermore. The devil and his angels in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, to be tormented day and night forever. The world will not come to an end as a result of pollution. The world will not come to an end as a result of climate change. The world will not come to an end as a result of a nuclear war. The world will not come to an end as a result of a pandemic. The world will come to an end when Jesus returns. We have that promise. I come again. But then, secondly, The scoffers, the mockers. There always have been and always will be mockers. They've been around from the very beginning. Go to the beginning of the Bible. And there you find a man called Lamech in Genesis 4, boasting about having murdered another man made in the image of God. Think of the days of Noah. Noah there, a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. And the scoffers, they wouldn't join with him and enter into the ark. Think of the days of Lot. Remember Lot's wife. Think of the days of Lot. The angels warned him that they were going to bring destruction upon this wicked city. They told him to warn his relatives. He went to his sons-in-law and told them that the city was going to be destroyed by fire and brimstone. And he seemed to them as one that mocked. They thought it was a good joke and they laughed. The scoffers mocked. We think of the men of Succoth how they mocked Gideon when he asked for refreshments as he was pursuing Seba and Sulmana, the princes of Midian, the oppressor. But they were taught a lesson with briars from the wilderness and thorns. Think of Shimei, how he mocked David. Come out, thou bloody man, come out, thou bloody man. God has brought judgment upon you and you serve it right. But Shimei met with an untimely end himself. Think of our Lord Jesus Christ in the house of Jairus, how they laughed him to scorn. Think of how they mocked him as he died on the cross. Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, come down from the cross and we will believe in you. Ha ha, they said. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. The scoffers and the atheists of today, the evolutionists who dismiss all ideas of God, of the Creator, of the judgment, of fire and brimstone. Ha ha, they say. What rubbish. What folly. This Jesus who said he was going to come again, 2,000 years have passed and there's no sign of Jesus. Well, Peter talks about these scoffers. They were around in his day. Look at verse 3 of this chapter. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, mockers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. The atheists. Since the fathers fell asleep, nothing's changed. God created the world. And the world has continued just as it was from the beginning. But no, that's not true. That's not true at all. Remember the ancient world. This they willingly are ignorant of. Yes, willingly. They don't want to know about God. They're willingly ignorant of him. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. It was by the word of God that the heavens and the earth were created, although the evolutionists deny the creator. By the word of God, God said, let it be, and it happened. Let the continents appear, and they appeared. And also by that word of God, verse 6, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished in the days of Noah. Noah for 120 years preaching, warning them. Yes, telling them of the coming judgment. There was an ark there. If they came into the ark, they would be saved. Noah preaching in the power of the Spirit of Christ. His message rejected. And so the millions who lived on the earth at that time all perished. And just as these millions perished in the flood in the days of Noah, so the scoffers of today will perish unless they repent. For one day the Lord will come. Verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Suddenly, the Lord will come. But then, thirdly, why the delay? What's the reason for the delay? Jesus said, I come quickly. 2,000 years have passed. So why the delay? Now, this is Peter writing in the first century. He's writing maybe 20 years after the death of Christ. And he's giving us the reason for the delay. And it's a very interesting reason because it tells us the kind of God we have. And what a wonderful and merciful God he is. Verse 9. Well, verse 8. Beloved, be not ignorant of this thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. What's a thousand years or 2,000 years to God? You see, God is eternal. God is never ending. He never had a beginning, and he'll never have an end. And the Ancient of Days, what is a thousand years to him? It's like one day. It's nothing. One day is with the Lord just like a thousand years to us, and a thousand years just like one day to him. The Lord is not slack. He's not reluctant. He's not careless concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. He's not careless, no, not a bit, but is long-suffering. Long-suffering to usward, to you and to me, to you who are listening. He's long-suffering to you, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why the delay? God is giving to you every opportunity. Why has God not struck you down dead yesterday? He's given you another day so that you will repent. He's gracious to you. He's merciful to you. He's showing his kindness. Oh, how gentle he is. Thy gentleness hath made me great. It's because of the kindness and love and mercy and long-suffering of God that the second coming is being delayed. Every opportunity has been granted to you. You have this day of grace, a day of salvation. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his evil ways and live. But if the wicked won't turn from his evil ways, God will be glorified in the death of the wicked, and his justice will be glorified in punishing the wicked throughout the endless ages of eternity. But he is long-suffering, and so he has sent his prophets, one after another, preaching the gospel in days gone by. And now in the past 2,000 years, he sent his ministers, and they're preaching the same message, and they're saying, just like the prophets, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die? Why will you suffer? Why will you end up in hell? Turn ye from your evil ways. The Lord is merciful. He sends his preachers calling to you, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. God is gracious and he's merciful, and he's ready to receive you. Think of the parable of the prodigal son. That prodigal son who went away and wasted his father's money with drink and with drugs and with prostitutes, until he brought himself into a real mess, destroyed his own life. But thankfully, even at that late stage, he came to his senses. And he said, why am I in such a mess? I'd be better to go back to my father's house and to confess the mess I've made of my life. And you remember how he returned and how his father welcomed him. His father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him and said, Let us kill the fatted calf, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, put shoes on his feet, put a ring on his finger. Let us be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. There is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. Will you repent? Will you come today? Will you come just now to Christ? Will you bow your knee before him and call upon him for mercy? Cry unto the Lord. Why has the world not come to an end? Because God is long-suffering, waiting for you to repent. Will you repent? The long-suffering will not continue forever. Fourthly, what will that coming day of the Lord be like? Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, unexpected. You remember 3 or 4 years ago, there was a break-in at the church here. On a Monday night, the thief came. Nobody was expecting. Broke into the boiler house, cut the copper pipes there, and took them away, left the gas flowing into the church. If there had been a spark, the whole church would have been blown up. We came along the following night and found the church full of gas. What a conflagration that would have been. Well, friends, just like the thief in the middle of the night, so our Lord Jesus will come in the middle of a night or in the middle of a day. And when he comes, there will be a great fire. The ancient world was destroyed with a flood. But the present world, the heavens and the earth, are going to be burnt up in fire. What damage an explosion can do. What an awful thing it is to be in such a situation. A couple of weeks ago, there was a plane crash in Pakistan. A plane crashed amongst some houses. A couple of fellows survived amazingly, but they said that it was just fire all around them. How terrible it must have been with that fire everywhere. How amazing that they survived. But another day is coming when there will be fire everywhere. We're told that the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. What a bang it was when that plane came down. What a noise. But when the heavens and the stars are passing away, when the sun is turned into darkness and the moon into blood, when the meteorites are crashing to the ground and the elements melt with fervent heat and the earth also and the works that are therein are burned up, what noise there will be, what heat there will be. What fire! What a frightening situation. Imagine the noise that there is when a tower block collapses. Sometimes these great multi-story buildings are blasted with explosives in order to demolish them. It must be a huge noise as this building collapses. Well, that's just one little building. Little in comparison to the world. When the universe that we know is collapsing all around, how terrible it must be. And in the midst of all that, the earth melting, the mountains being disappearing, the fear that will be upon every unbeliever, the kings and the mighty men, the presidents and the prime ministers, the multi-millionaires and the beggars crying to the mountains to fall on them and the rocks to cover them from the face of him that sits upon the throne. How frightening. And these very mountains and rocks that they're praying to cover them, disappearing. The elements dissolving. And all that is left is you and God. You before God. And if you are that day a Christian, there will be no fear but joy. But if that day you're not a true Christian, a true born again Christian, you will see the wrath of the Lamb. Many picture Jesus as a very gentle, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, little child Jesus. But oh, what an awful thing it will be. What a terrifying picture when Jesus, the Jesus who pleaded with you, the Jesus who sent his disciples and his ministers to preach the gospel to every creature, the Jesus who has been delaying his return in his mercy, calling you to repentance, how terrible it will be when this Jesus returns in wrath, in anger, towards those who have trampled his blood underfoot, who's despised his gospel, and who've given themselves over to the pursuit of their own pleasures and interests and worldly things, despising the call to repent and believe. When that day comes and the Lord returns as a thief in the night, the day of grace will be past. The day of prayers being answered will be past. The day when you can be saved will be gone. The day of judgment has arrived. The pandemic has caused considerable fear. Go into a busy supermarket and start coughing and spluttering, and you'll see how people will rush away from you in every direction. But how much more terrible when Christ comes. From time to time we hear of terrorists entering buildings with lots of people in them, with bombs and bullets and great fear and panic. How different, how exceedingly worse it will be when the Lord returns, when Christ comes back, when the heavens open, when Christ is seen riding upon a cloud of heaven, surrounded by his fiery angels, and all his majesty and glory and power. And he descends from heaven with a shout. What a mighty shout that will be. A shout that will reach to the depths of the oceans. A shout that will reach to the depths of the earth. A shout that will reach to the furthest corners of the universe. Calling the dust of men and the ashes of men to gather together and to come and to stand before him. The trumpet will sound exceeding loud and exceeding long. He shall descend from heaven with a shout. The voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and then shall we forever be with the Lord. But what about the wicked? They too will rise. When Christ comes again, the righteous and the wicked will rise, and there will be a judgment of all. All will appear before the judgment seat. So then, an application. What is the required response of sinners? What's required of you who are still unconverted? Who are still living for this world and its pleasures? Living for work, living, yes, maybe living for your family, maybe a very good living person, but you're not living for Jesus Christ. You're not living a God-centered life. Jesus said you must be born again, and except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You won't get to heaven. What is required? Don't join the mockers, the scoffers. Don't sit in the seat of the scorners who say, where is the promise of his coming? Where's Jesus? He's not coming and he won't come. He'll never come. Things will just continue the way they are forevermore. Don't join with them because they're liars. The scoffers of the ancient world were shown to be liars when the flood came. And the scoffers in the days of Lot were shown to be liars when the fire and brimstone came. And so it will be at the end of the world. The delay in Christ coming again is God's mercy. God's mercy to you. He could come today. He could come just now. And if he came just now, he would throw you into hell. To be weeping and wailing and gnashing your teeth forever. How awful. Do you take these things to heart? Do you give consideration to the reality of Christ's return? But now is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't be hardening your heart like the children of Israel did so often. Soften your heart. Repent. Turn to the Lord. You have time. You have opportunity. You have Christ stretching out his hands to you and saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Look unto me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth. The Lord Jesus is calling to you. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Men break their promises, but God won't break his promise. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. That's just now. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. If you turn, if you repent, if you seek the Lord, he will have mercy on you. He will pardon you, but you've got to be serious. You've got to repent. Agree with your adversary quickly whilst you are in the way with him, lest the adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and the officer cast you into prison, and you'll never come out of that prison. Now is the time to make your peace with God. So if you're unconverted today, make your peace with God now before you find yourself in hell. But in the second place, by way of application, there's a response required here from Christians as well, from true Christians, from born-again Christians. And indeed, it's particularly to them that Peter is writing, because he's writing here to the church. And so you as Christians have to take these things to heart too. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Since this world around us is going to be dissolved, the mountains, the rocks, everything, the sun, the moon, the stars, these things are going to melt away. What kind of person should you be, fellow Christian? You ought to be a holy person, living a godly life, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Are you looking for? Are you living in the light of the coming Christ? Are you expecting his return? Are you praying for his return? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we Christians, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. We're living in this old heavens, this old earth, wherein dwells sin. We're in a sinful, cursed world, full of pain and suffering and pandemics and death. But we're looking for a blessed world, a holy world, a godly world, wherein dwells righteousness. That's our hope. Wherefore, beloved, seeing you look for such things, be diligent. Are you diligent? Be diligent that you may be found of him in peace. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Make sure you're in Christ. Don't just take it for granted. Make sure you're a real Christian. And make sure you're found in him, in Christ. That's the only safe place. That's the only hiding place. When Christ comes again, the only safe place is to be in Christ. Those who are in him, united to him, saved by him, they are safe, they are secure, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. God's long suffering is for your salvation. Verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Are you backsliding? Are you falling? Are you getting more and more caught up in the world and the ways of the world? Falling from your steadfastness? Falling into the ways of Satan. Beware. Remember, this world is perishing. Are you going to perish with it? The only way to make sure you don't perish is by seeking the Lord. Going on seeking the Lord. Serving the Lord. Committing your life to him. Being more and more dedicated to him. Following him with all your heart. Ye therefore, beloved, beware, lest you be led away by the error of the wicked, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Don't follow the lusts of the scoffers. Turn from your sins. Repent of your backslidings. Cast away your idols. Live a holy life, a godly life, a devoted life, desiring the coming of the Lord, looking for this new heavens and new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Be done with your sins. Be diligent in doing that which is right. Don't be led away with the error of the wicked, but be humble and godly and growing in grace and devoted to him. What is the great priority of your life? If somebody were to come and to do an assessment of your life, not just on Sunday, but tomorrow, and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and they were to see what you spend your time on and the way you live and the things that get you excited, what would they say? Would they say, there's a woman of God, there's a real man of God? For that person, they're Christ-centered. Or would they say, well, there's a worldly person. There's a person who lives for this life, who's quite at home here. There's a person, and all they're interested in, all they seem to be interested in is making money, getting on in their job. All they seem interested in is doing well at work, being popular. All they seem interested in is friends and pastimes and earthly satisfactions, eating, drinking, making merry, pleasures, holidays. What is your life all about? So important to examine ourselves. Remember, Christ is coming again, and in the light of that coming, how does it affect your life? And how will Christ judge you when he comes? Are you living for him? Or living for the world? O Lord, our God, teach us, impress the truth upon us, come with conviction to our hearts, shake us out of our spiritual sleep, awaken us to the things of eternity. O Lord, we need revival. We are so sleepy, we seem to be dead, lying in spiritual graves. Shake us out of our sleep, Lord, and wake us up, and wake us up to be living holy, godly lives, growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, till he comes to take us to be with himself forever in heaven. Bless us as Christians. And O Lord, we pray for those who haven't as yet come to put their trust in Jesus. O Lord God, even today, even just now, do thou cause them to cry to thee for mercy, to repent, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might be saved. In Jesus' name we pray.